I couldn't believe it when I read that you were calling it a day. I mean, I'd ordered from you in the past and you'd supplied me with some fantastic jingles, and I knew you were still supplying the CDs to collectors all around the world. So why in 2005, after a lifetime of jingles, did you decide that it was time to put the CDs away?
Well, I guess a couple of things come to mind. The first is that of the PAMS archives and the other stuff that I have licenses to with Anita Kerr and Johnny Mann and TM and all of that, I've pretty much run through everything that I have a decent copy of. And we now have well over 450 CD products, and I think that really the bulk of everything in my basic archives is now on a catalog CD.
You've been involved in jingles for as long as I've ever had anything to do with them. I've been sort of collecting them over the years, but nowhere near for as long as you. I can remember reading that you were pretty excited the very first time you went to Dallas and met John Wolfert. What would be your favourite memory of jingle collecting and being involved in the production?
Well, I think certainly the first time I walked into PAMS, which was 1971, was just a huge thrill for me. I was so nervous, I don't think I slept the night before. And, of course, when I walked in, they were all very blasé and wasn't even sure that I was supposed to come that day. So that was kind of disappointing. Meeting John, Ken Justice, Ron Harris, some of these other people in the early 70s was a lot of fun. But the biggest day for me had to be in 1980 when I went down to buy the PAMS tapes that were, sold at this auction. The guy said, yeah, they're in this warehouse back here, come on back here. And he opened the door to this warehouse, which was like the size of a football field. And it was nothing but PAMS tapes piled to the ceiling in, all these stacks. And I just thought, if it gets any better than this, I don't think my heart could stand it. So that was certainly one of the very high points. And, of course, I grabbed up all the tapes I possibly could.
What was it like just opening the door and seeing all of those fantastic PAMS tapes? Was it like a dream come true? Was it something that you'd dreamt about doing as a small child, and then all of a sudden it was like, as I suppose you would say in America, a kiddie in a candy store?
I didn't even dare dream about it. I was quite happy. I think it was about 1965 or something that, I finally figured out who PAMS was and called them, and somebody was nice enough to send me some demos, and I thought, well, now I can die. That's it right there. So I didn't dare dream about ending up with all the PAMS references, let alone the tracks, the instrumental, as you call them, the backing tracks to the jingles. I thought, that's a completely unreachable, unrealistic goal. But when that happened, wow, that certainly changed my attitude right there.
Have you still got them all locked away?
Multi-track masters have been sold back to John Wolfert, and they are on shelves in a back room at Jam Creative Productions in Dallas.
There are so many there seem to be so many production companies nowadays. It's all of a sudden it's sort of gone full circle, hasn't it? Because these sort of sung seven voice harmonies, certainly in the UK, went out of fashion sort of midway through the 1990s, and all of a sudden the sung imaging has come back. But production companies are setting up left, right and centre. What do you think is the key to being somebody who can make a living in this really competitive climate?
I think two things. First of all, you really have to love it because it's so labor-intensive. You just spend hours and hours and hours tweaking things and making them sound perfect. And the other thing is you have to be able to keep a lid on the costs. You have to have good singers and good musicians, but you can't let the costs get out of hand because you can only get so much for the jingles when you go to sell them. I think another factor is that jingles as we now know them, with the seven-voice vocals or the four guys or the five guys or, whatever vocal style you're going to have, they may enjoy nostalgic resurgences from time to time, but basically I think that concept is kind of dead, maybe except for oldie stations. And so I really think that whoever would be starting a jingle company now had better come up with something new that hasn't been done before and come up with a really cool thing and a way to do it and be able to have some kind of new twist on it. I think that the basic jingles now are such an anachronism. They just don't really fit with the kind of music that's being played on the radio. The seven voice group, I mean, how many seven voice groups have records on the charts right now? Zero. You might have a three or four girl group or a three or four guy group or something, but they don't even do that kind of harmonies. I think the next person had better figure out something different to do.
this is it, is the evolution, isn't it? It's like the way Madonna's music has changed from when she was a small girl, first on the charts in 1984-85 time, and then she's gone through all sorts of different phases to become the artist that she is today. It's exactly true of the jingle business as well, isn't it? You've got to change with the music that changes around you. Like you said, it sounds out of place if you're playing jingles from the 1980s nowadays.
Yeah, I think there has to be sort of an evolution, because you can't stand still, and I think that's what happened to PAMS. They were still doing big band-sounding jingles with seven-voice vocals in 1973 at a time that it was, you know, quite passé. So you do have to change. One other thought occurs to me. You asked about, if you're starting a production company now, what would you do? I don't think it's feasible to have a production company that just has jingles anymore. TM kind of recognized this as early as 1970, and they diversified into libraries and hit discs and gold discs and comedy services. You have to become a radio production service, because I don't think it's possible to make enough money doing just jingles. I don't think it's possible anymore.
It's like the department store, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rather than just selling one product, you want people to shop in various different malls that you've got.
Well, exactly. And it's true with other businesses, too. I don't know how it is in the UK, but here, if you go to somebody to do your taxes, they also want to sell you other financial services. Or if you go to a bank, you know, they want you to have credit cards, they want you to have a checking account, they want you to have a line of credit. You know, diversified but related services. I think that's the only way to run a company now.
You've been such an important part of jingle history. How does that feel now that in a few weeks' time you'll be looking back on it?
I'll go back to your first statement there. I don't know how important I've been. I'm just some little guy that, you know, like collecting jingles and happened to get very lucky here. But how am I going to feel about giving it up? I'm going to be sad. When I gave up my recording studio, you know, we recorded PAMS jingles between 1980 and 2000, we did re-sings of PAMS jingles in addition to doing our own product. And when I gave that up, you know, I knew it was time to move on, but I missed it for a while, and I really missed working with my singers and, you know, sending out these cool things to clients. I did miss that. It was time to move on, and that's what it is now. I'm always going to love jingles. I'm always going to listen to them. I'm going to enjoy them. It's just, I'm not going to be selling them anymore. I've been selling jingle compilations of you know, classic jingles on CD since about 1996 or 1995, and 10 years is a long time to do that. And I think I'm proud of the fact that I've made these jingles available to a lot of people that appreciate it. We have a database of about 1,200 people around the world, not just the UK, but we just sent a package to Spain the other day. We send things to the Netherlands every week. Canada, every state of the union, and these things are out there now, and people can enjoy them. And I, if there's anything that I'm happy about or proud about, it's that I've had a very small part to play in making these wonderful jingles available to so many people.
Is this really the end, or have you got a little surprise up your sleeve?
Well, I'm not going to go back into the business of creating jingles, that's for sure. I'm not going to go beyond the next couple of months here. I'm not going to be selling any jingles on CD. I will have a couple of new CDs. Actually, I'll have a new batch of them coming out in March, and maybe one or two other little special projects. But when I say that's it, that's really it. I'm going to turn in my my credit card machine and my postage meter and all of that, all of the trappings of running an office. I'm going to sell the condo that I have purchased to use as an office here, and there will be no more. The jingle world will not hear from me anymore.
You're not going to regret doing this and think, I wish I could just feel one more CD master in my hands, just one more.
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, I have had a career all along as a writer. Since about 1994, I have been writing for various radio trade publications here stateside. For the National Association of Broadcasters and, you know, a number of other publications. And I'm going to continue writing for them and for some other people, maybe write a book here and there. But that's going to be it for me selling jingles. As soon as we sell out the rest of our stock here, it really is over.
Let me ask you one impossible question.
Yes.
you probably know what's coming next. What would be, I was going to ask you what your favourite cut would be, but that would be crazy. What would be your favourite package of all time? Not necessarily one that you've been involved with, but perhaps one that you've heard or you heard as a child on a radio station. What would be that one package that says anything to you that would be the defining moment of your career?
I guess I have to give you two answers to that. One of them is, as a child, I grew up in Chicago, home of WLS, and I was born in 1951, and so at age 9 or 10, I became very aware of this, and WLS and the Anita Kerr jingles on that station were just a huge thing to me. When I heard those, I thought, wow, this has got to be spectacular. So that package will always have an emotional attachment to me. As far as what are my favorite packages, if I want to just absolutely blow my mind and just have a great time listening to jingles in the car, I have a stack of about 20, maybe 18 or 20 CDs of jingles by Hugh Heller, written by Dick Hamilton, an acquaintance of mine in Los Angeles. And I don't think I could ever ask for any more imagination, any better singing, any better writing, any more clever lyrics than what he did. You've heard one series 27, and you've heard 100 variations of it. But this guy was unique and wrote things that nobody else could possibly ever dream of. And so I'm, very, very fond of those jingles. And they only existed for a few years, from about 1969 through about 1974 or 5.
Very, very finally, what would be your last thought for jingle fans around the world?
I guess I would encourage people to share them, enjoy them, take them for what they were, which was a little piece of Americana, a little piece of our culture in the 60s and in the early 70s. And, PEM Series 34, when you bought that, you got a little free song called The Power of Love. And I would suggest that you go back and listen to that and listen to the lyrics, and that kind of encapsulates my feelings about it.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you, Kenard Deutsch. Thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Well, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.